Good morning to all. It's been a good morning. I want to bless my mom, who is not here. She is, I believe, 96, if I'm counting correctly, and praying for me every day. I feel her prayers often. And I bless her for that. I also want to bless my wife, who as a mother, not of small children anymore, but a grandmother now, and she just does so much to keep the spirit and morale at our house high. Sometimes I tend to get weighed down with things, and she balances me out very well. I bless her in that. Today, I'm not going to be speaking from John. I want to try to be succinct. Another thing that my wife does is keep a good schedule, and she reminded me that it's time is moving on. So I want to be succinct, but I want to not speak directly to mothers, but it definitely comes into play. And in a nutshell, what I want to say is I want to draw our focus and attention to a pattern, one of God's patterns and plans for human government, beginning at the family and also in the church, also in the state. So that plan is, you see, in the beginning when God created man, and he created them male and female in his image. And then I'll go to chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, and we'll look at how God took from Adam a rib, created a woman. And so, in order to be that image, that representation of God, they need to function together in harmony. The church, of whom Jesus Christ is the head, we'll look at Ephesians chapter 4, how that the church then, having many members, but we're one body, and in order to be that representation, that image of Jesus Christ, we need to all blend the working of our gifts together. So I won't go into a lot of detail, but I basically want to, and it's not a new concept, but I want to just remind us of the concept, and I want it to be obvious to all of us how the devil and his servants, the devil and his people, are blatantly and brazenly trying to tear down God's pattern and God's plan and God's order. I want to begin by reading from Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." And a couple commentators I read referred to that word woman as, well, it's in effect that It's also the same word for man, but they referred to it as the womb man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. If we go back to Genesis chapter 1, when God, when it first states how that God created man, in verse 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And I just want to point out that created in the image of God. So in chapter 1, when he talks there about being created in the image of God, it says male and female, he created them, plural, but obviously in a singular body. And so then in chapter 2, when God brought a deep sleep upon Adam, and he took out of him a rib and then created the woman, and then he goes on to say then, and Adam realized, though he was in a deep sleep, and God closed up the flesh in its place, somehow Adam knew that God had removed a rib. I don't know how he knew, but he knew. And so, following that then, the scripture tells us, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So you have them being plural in one body to being a part of Adam being removed, made into a woman, and then they come together again to be that complete representation of God, to be that complete image of God, okay? And I just want to I want to contrast now a little bit. In the New Testament, Jesus was approached by the Sadducees in the Gospels. Jesus was approached by the Sadducees, and they created this scenario. They said this man was married to a woman, and he died without having left her children. And so, as the law says, his brother married her, and he died without having children, and so on and so on and so on until seven had married her, and none had left her children. And so the Sadducees, they brought this to him because they do not believe in a resurrection. Jesus responded by saying, this is what he said. Jesus said to them, "Is this not the reason you are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like angels in heaven." So I allude to that to point out how that it would appear that in some regard the angels, they do not reproduce. I think they are created as individuals. They are not like man in that regard. And so it seems to me, and there's other passage that refers to that angels long to look into the aspects of salvation given to man and so on. And it seems to me, and they're referred to as ministering spirits. And so it would seem to me that, yes, they are God's ministering spirits, and he sends them. There's another passage that refers to them as or God is saying to the people, he's saying, be careful, I think it's in Hebrews, be careful how you do, what you do, so on and so on, because these little ones' angels are ever in God's presence, or they ever see the face of God. So it seems to me like angels are given a mission, they're given a work, and they go and they carry it out, or they blatantly disobey and are cast out. Whereas the dimension that I see with man is that we are given the gift of volition. We choose. We can. God has given us direction. God has given us mandates. God has given us responsibility. But we are made in his image in that just as God, the Godhead was plural, but in God we are in one body. God is singular in his body, but anyway, so it seems to me like man and woman, when they come together, then they are again the image of God as one. And so also as a kind of like as a little side note, but in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 7, it says this, for a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image of God. Now, I know that when we look at that passage, we say that Christ is the image, is the head of man, and so on. But in verse 7, it says this, for since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man was not made for woman, but woman from man. Neither was this man created for woman, but woman for man. That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman, and all things are from God. A little side note is that so long I have wondered, what does that reference to the angels mean? And I'm thinking that it might be so simple that I failed to see it in just that, yes, the angels, they don't live in the male-female realm like we do, I don't believe. And so that that reference to there to being covered for the sake of the angels might be as simple as that. Anyway, I want to move on. Now, so keeping in mind this thing of God vesting authority to man, but doing so with the idea of distributing it, not having authority consolidated in one or a few, but in distributing his authority and ability. So going now to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3 there, where Paul is talking about husband-wife relationships, he says this, and this would be an example of God's pattern of distributed authority, or in this case, mutual authority, where chapter 7, verse 3, it says, the husband should give his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. The family is the most basic building block of civilization, and the devil and his servants' most primal insurrection against God and his created and established order is to abolish the structure and order of the family. I think we can see this happening all around us. So basically in this first section looking at husband and wife relationships, I want to just reiterate that as Adam was created singular, male and female, in God's image, God removed a rib and he distributed that that completeness of man, and he took all of the sweet parts out and made the woman. And so in order to be that image of God, husband and wife need to work together in harmony. And a beautiful picture of that can then be found in Ephesians chapter 4, or in chapter 5. The last about, I'm going to read verse 25 on. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And he goes on to say, this mystery is profound, and I am saying it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So you see here how that when husband and wife work together in recognizing the contribution that each makes, when they understand that, no, I don't have it all, and she understands that, no, she doesn't have it all, but we need each other, and we're made to come together to be the image of God. And then as she respects him and as he loves her, then they can present that beautiful image of a God, of God. All right. I want to talk now briefly about the state, and I will simply, this is primarily for the purpose of just establishing how that God, or what maybe why God distributes power in his economy. And if you would go to Genesis chapter 11, this was after the flood. You know, you have the Nephilim coming down, the sons of God coming down and having children with the women of the earth. And you have all of this wickedness and this raising themselves up and trying to create this mighty people and mighty nation. And God says, I won't have any of it. I'm going to clean the earth. And he brought the flood and destroyed all of those people. You know, as far as the biblical account, Noah is barely off the scene before we have chapter 11, where it says that the people had one language, and they kept migrating, moving as the population grew, and they came to a good plain, and there was good sand and there was good clay there to make really, really good brick. And they said, let's build ourselves a huge city that reaches way up to the sky, and we'll settle here this will be our place. This we're going to make our mark here. And simply put, God just messed with their language. They couldn't understand each other anymore, and it forced them to disseminate, spread out. They couldn't get along. They couldn't agree. They couldn't understand each other. They couldn't communicate. And so that was God's way of just, bringing it to nothing. And I think it might get that account, I think, to me, it gave a clue as to why God has this pattern, both in husband-wife relationships and in Christ and the church relationships, how he distributes both authority and ability. You know, it's because I think Yeah, just like these people here in at the Tower of Babel. I think if we look out in the world today, you know, 1 Corinthians 1, Paul is talking about how the gospel is presented. He said, there's not a lot of wise or wealthy or powerful or influential people that are saved. And because it's foolishness, it's weakness and foolishness to the people of the world. And so I think if we look across the spectrum of the world today, you can see that it's some of the powerful and wealthy people that are trying to do just that. They're trying to play God and create life conditions and so on for as much of humanity as they can. So God's answer is, God's pattern is, for within the confines that he has prescribed, that we learn to work and live together. Throughout history, God has repeatedly raised up one nation to mete out justice upon another until it in turn became conceited and unrestrained in its evil, and God would raise up another nation to mete out justice upon it. And another thing, one of God's primary ways to punish man is simply by removing his hand of protection and blessing and allowing them to experience the consequences of their own choices. And so, you know, we could think of all kinds of illustrations. One that I recently heard is there is concern about dwindling population. Both, I heard it of China, and I heard it of the United States too. Why? They have been promoting, you know, in China especially, the one-child law, and they've been promoting abortion. They've been talking about, you know, population control and so on. But what are the unintended consequences? There's not enough of the coming generation to going to be able to support the people that are older. What are they going to do about that? They don't have answers. They're worried. So anyway, I think one of the blessings that we have experienced here in the United States for many, many years has been the blessing of the separation of powers, where the intent of the founders was to set up a system where no one branch of government or no one person or party could have absolute power. Anyway, I want to talk now, or pivot now to the church. Ephesians 4, 1 to 16. I'm going to read that. Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Indeed, he ascended. What does it mean but that also that he descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That is so beautiful, my dear people. When, as we see in the first part of the chapter, there's, you know, one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one. Of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. None of us have it all. That's God's plan. It's such a beautiful plan, and it's so profound in its effectiveness and simplicity that God sets up these parameters, and then it is the greatest blessing that he has made us so that none of us has all the responsibility, all the authority, but that we need each other. It is such a blessing because it serves to check us. And was that check not built in? I think if we're honest, we'll all admit that we would just have the propensity to take it and to make it all about ourselves. But that's built into God's economy, God's government, God's system, God's plan. And it is so wise and so profound. And as we live in recognition of that, as we serve him, honoring each other because we truly see the value of each other, whether it's husband and wife or whether it's each other in the church, the effect is husband and wife becoming one, working together, being that image of God. The church, Christ, of whom Christ is the head, working together. It's for becoming mature, equipped, growing up, being able to handle all of the fiery darts of the enemy, being able to stand against his trickery and deceit and onslaught, and doing in a way that builds itself up in love. Just completely bringing consternation and chaos to the enemy because they don't know what to do with it. They have no answer. But as the church unites together, and the church will unite, I might say, will unite together as husbands and wives learn to work in harmony and convey that principle to their children. So it's, the plan's right there. It's profoundly wise in the way that he designed it. But it represents him, and to the extent that we can do that, we will prevail and we will be victorious. May God bless.